Well, if you have a Bible with you this morning, I hope you do. You can turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3, then we'll kind of jump into the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It's just great to see you and have you with us this morning. I heard a story about just after a church service. It was a big, important day at a church. There was a family who was dedicating their young four-year-old boy. And they had the dedication service, and they went outside, they got into the parking lot, and they packed up to go home. And all of a sudden, the father looks in the rearview mirror, and he noticed that his four-year-old son, who was just dedicated, was crying. And he turned to his son, and he said, "Son, what's the problem? What seems to be the matter?" And the son looks at his father, and he says, "Well, the preacher this morning, he said that he wanted us to all be raised in a Christian home." And the father says, "That's right, son, that's right." Crying even louder, the boy sobbed, but I wanted to stay with you guys." I know for some of us that cuts a little deep, but figuring this whole family thing out can be a little bit challenging at times. I mean, we just say the word family, and it conjures up all kinds of emotions. Family, it's not a neutral subject. It's not a word that you know does not elicit all kinds of emotion in our lives. Some of those emotions are good, some are bad, some are happy, some are sad. But whatever the case, our families of origin even have the greatest influence on our lives. And some of us run from those, and some of us embrace those. And so we decided to do this series on family because we believe that it would be helpful because it's something that we all deal with. And we're in week 4 of a series that we've called Modern Family. And we're taking a look at some of God's ancient truths that are in Scripture. Some of these were written thousands of years ago, but we have discovered that they are every bit as relevant today as they were the first time that these were said or penned. And so we know that God, we want him to be the designer, the definer of our relationships, including marriage, including family. And God has a great plan for our families if we'll follow it. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, "Well, yeah, that's all great, but my family is a mess. I mean, man, we were even fighting on the way to church this morning." I know that happens sometimes. It even happens for us, but not so much anymore because everybody drives, and we're the parking problem sometimes, our family. But you know, even if we're just feel like we're a mess, then I want you to know you're in the right place because there is not one of us in this room who has a perfect family. We all, let's just be honest, we all have some area of dysfunction, some closet that we don't want anyone poking around in. In fact, some of us have closets that if somebody opens a door, everything's going to fall out on them, right? And as we've already discovered, even families in the Bible were pretty messed up, which reminds us that God is an expert in this business of fixing what is broken, especially broken people and broken families. Next week, I'm actually going to have an expert up here with me. I've been begging her to come up. I'm going to actually have my wife Brenda share with us a little bit, because in our family, she's really the expert. Next week, we're talking about parenting, and I think she's read every book ever written on parenting, and she's just amazing. And so one of the things, I believe you have cards in your bulletins this morning where you can write if you have any parenting questions. We can't answer them all. In fact, we don't know the answers to them all, but we'll dive in and we're going to take a look at those. And as you exit, there's some boxes that you can just drop those in, and we'll take a look at those this week and try to do our best to address some of your questions. But there's certainly some foundational truths. If there's not something in your bulletin, just rip a corner off or something, throw it in there, or write it on your communication card, because we want to address some of those things. But one of the key verses, key places that we find God's teaching on family in the Bible is in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. This has been serving as kind of the overarching passage for this series. And I want to have you guys read this with me together out loud. Like we've been saying, man, if you could memorize this, this would be awesome as a family. So why don't you just read this with me? "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now, can you imagine? Can you just imagine if we all got these things right? Well, yes, there's some laughter in the room. There's some giggling, like, what are you talking about, right? Now, the minute that we say this, I think some of you are probably thinking, well, I'm getting my part right, but what if, right? Some of you have the what if syndrome, like, just what if my wife could really do this? Or what if my husband would just do this? Or, Lord Jesus, what if my children would just obey, right? And that's kind of where we get. And we typically think that there's a problem in our homes, and we usually don't think that the problem is us, but it's somebody else. And if everyone would just listen to us, everything would just be okay. But I want to let you know that all of this is possible. All of this is possible, and God empowers us to live this way. It's possible to experience peace and joy and love and kindness in your homes. It really is possible. It's possible when we learn to put God first and to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not to submit to one another because one another's so great, but submitting to one another because we are reverent to Christ. A few weeks ago, we unpacked this idea of submission. You know, it's the one that everybody gets a little bit nervous about, right? And we discovered that submission does not mean that you get walked all over, but it means that you get undergirded, that you undergird the people in your family, that you get up under and you support the mission that we are all on to be families that share kingdom values and have Christ at the center. And we want to make sure that we put Christ in the center, because that is the only way that it is possible, when we recognize that God is the designer, that God is the definer, and that he is the builder of our homes. And where Jesus is at the center, and through the power of God's Holy Spirit working on us, all of these things are possible. I mean, I know some of you saw this thing and you thought, okay, that we rightly highlighted this verse, which we're going to cover today. Because some of you already had trouble with some of that this morning. Each week, we've been taking a different section, and each of these sections, each of these verses, in fact, are written specifically to a different person in the family. We all have specific roles. And we talked the first week about, we spoke to wives, and hit that area of submission. Last week, we talked to husbands, right? And we talked to husbands about loving their wives, and we says, husbands, love your wives, and don't be, and Pastor Ken's version, don't be a, yeah, don't be a jerk, okay? Don't be a jerk, guys, okay? Love your wives. That is so important. And today we're going to discover that God's word has something to say specifically on the part of children and the role that they play in the dynamic of the family. And all the children are thinking, oh man, we're in big trouble because the pastor's going to give a bunch of ideas about what the parents are supposed to do. And when parents know what's supposed to do, we're going to have to do something, right? But just relax, because there's some things that we all have in common in this area. The thing that we have all in common is, for better or for worse, every single one of you has a family, right? Everybody's got one. Now, you didn't pick yours, okay? And some of you are pretty sure about that. Some of you wish you could trade yours in for another one, okay? I mean, some of you are constantly comparing your family to somebody else's. You look over there and you see some other family and you're like, oh man, look at the husband and wife and they're just so in love. And look at the children. The children are all obedient and listening to their children and everything else. And just follow them around long enough. They'll mess up, okay? Because we all do. And most of us would like to see our families functioning a little bit better. And God has some direction on how we can get there. So we're all children. There's no escaping that fact. But here's the main point today. Here's the main point. And no matter where you're at in this whole thing, no matter what your age, no matter who you are, you fill in the blanks on this one, because this one's important. It's in your notes. Is this. This is the main point. I'm going to give it to you right up front. You cannot choose whose child you are, but you can choose the kind of child you will be. And this is really, really important for every single one of us, okay? I mean, don't just, you know, elbow your kid. Remember, no Bible bashing, okay? Don't take this home and try to hit your kids over the head with it, all right? Because here's the reality. How many of you in the room are children of somebody? Yeah, okay? Pretty much 100% of us are children. And you didn't get to choose whose child you were, but you can sure choose what kind of child you're going to be. And that is where I think the Bible dives in and helps us out a lot, teaching us the kind of children we should be. And I'll tell you this, parents, the kind of children that your children are usually a direct reflection of the kind of child you chose to be. So just let that one simmer in and percolate for a while this morning. So let's take a look at today's passage. Now, I do want to say, I'm not speaking as someone who has mastered either one of these roles, okay? I have not mastered the child role. I've been working at that for 54 years, and I have not mastered the parent role, which I've been working at for 28 years. I'm still learning on every single one of these, but I believe that if we point to the Bible, it definitely has a truth. So verse 20 of Colossians 3 says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." The first word is important. Children, who are these children? You have all kinds of things. Most of us, when we think of children, we think of like little people, right? Little people that run around and somehow mess up our houses, okay? Children who we're constantly chasing, or, you know, we're kind of at the end of that. And I got to tell you, I used to think that, once we got these kids to adulthood, that all of the issues were going to just kind of go away, because they could handle everything on their own. And I got to tell you, my prayer life has increased drastically with the age of my children. Okay? It used to be like little stuff, like, you know, which teachers they got in school and what kind of bike they wanted. And now it's like, you know, what kind of career paths are they taking and who are they marrying and all these kinds of things, right? It just gets, there's just more and more and more. And I don't see any signs that that's going to slow down anytime soon. The first word, children, though, in the scripture, it comes from a Greek word. It's technia, okay? Everybody say technia. Sounds technological, but it's not. Technia. And it doesn't just mean little children. There are other words in the language that the Bible could have used to have just like little children, little tiny guys. But this word actually speaks of, the best translation is inhabitant, okay? An inhabitant. Okay, in other words, if you are inhabiting your parents' house, you are supposed to submit to your parents, okay? If you're an inhabitant there, okay? And out of reverence for Christ, you submit in obedience to your parents as long as you live with them. So if you're 3 or 23, you're 9 or 19, if you live under their roof, eat their food, use their bathroom, you need to live in obedience to your parents. And we know that the age of that keeps going up and up and up and up and up, right? I mean, some of you, just when you thought the kids were gone, they're coming back, right? But whatever happens, if you are inhabiting their space, then you should act with an air of obedience. Now, parents always ask me all kinds of questions about what that looks like, especially as their kids start to get older. Well, the questions I get all the time, okay, a little side note is, you know, should I make my kids go to church, right? And I always say this, I always tell parents this, if you live in the Lamont house, you do, okay? I mean, it started when I was a kid, I remember, and I've shared this story before. I thought there was one Sunday about time I was in junior high that I wasn't going to go to church. And I walked out in the living room with my pajamas on, right? And my dad looked at me and he says, "Well, hey, you better hurry up and get changed." And I said, "No, Dad, you don't understand. I'm not going today." And it was as if my dad went deaf at that moment. He didn't hear a word I said. He just looked at me and he says, "Well, are you going to change, or am I just going to throw you in the car looking like that?" And he says, "Because you're going, as long as you live under our roof, as long as you inhabit our home, this is part of the deal." And parents, I believe that's true. Now, parents are always like, well, you know, I don't know. Why parents start to push back on that? And I say, look, you make your kids, okay, do all kinds of other things. You make your kid go to the doctor, right? You make your kids go to the dentist. You even make your kids go to school. And you even make sure they get there on time. And now think about that. What are those as important? Are they more important than the time that they spend learning and growing in their spiritual lives? And so, folks, I would tell you this. I would say, man, as parents, you need to determine, because you are setting a course for your kids. Will your kids sometimes push back, rebel, and everything else? Sure, they will. They're kids. And they're going to push out those boundaries, push out those boundaries. The question is, will you hold firm in the boundaries that you set? Your children, our children's leaders here at church, I know, man, they do an amazing job making sure that church is a place that kids want to show up and be part of. And some of you need to volunteer to help them. But the reality is that something, if your parents say, hey, this is what you're going to do, if you're living under their roof, absolutely, I believe that's true. And you know what? We made a rule in our house that says, and we're going to go together. We're going to be there together. You know why? Because then we can carry it home with us. We can take the things that we're learning and the ways that we're growing, and we can have conversation about that later, and it can help us grow together as a family. And so that first word is really important, that we understand who these children are. If you are inhabiting your parents' house, you should still live in obedience. The second word is important too. It's this word obedience, okay? It says, children, obey your parents. Now, obey, this one is a word that sometimes we get mixed up with the word we talked about a few weeks ago, the word submission. Sometimes we think that submission means obey, but remember we said submission means to undergird or to lift up. This word, however, is a different word in the original language for the word for obey, and it actually is another military term, and it actually means to obey. It means to follow orders. In the Greek, it means do as you are told. Okay? Now, how many of you took the love language test thing? Okay, found out your love languages. Anybody surprised? Some of you are a little bit surprised. I know some people in our life group, they were surprised at which love language they had and things like that. Did you know God has a love language? God has a love language. I think that God's love language is obedience. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And that's God speaking. God has a love language, and it's obedience. You know what? For every parent in the room, I think every parent has a specific love language with their children, and that love language is obedience. The children, if you want to show your parents how you love them, then obey your parents. Now, inevitably, a young person is going to come up to me, and they're going to say, do I really have to obey my parents in everything? And I go, let's get out the Bible, okay? And we read the Bible, and in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in what? Some things? In the things you choose? In the things you think are important? No, it says, children, obey your parents in everything. Now, some of you might say, but what if they ask me to do something wrong? There's always some crazy kid in the group that says that. Like, what if my parent asks me to sin, right? And I was like, well, for crying out loud, that's a crazy question. Yeah, you don't have to sin if your parents, I had one kid, years of doing youth ministry, and one student actually came up to me one time. He says, well, what if my parent asked me to break one of the Ten Commandments? And I was like, yeah, you don't have to do that. I said, what are you talking about anyways? You think your mom's going to actually come to you and say, hey, I know what we're going to do for family day. Why don't you go into your bedroom and create a graven image? I've yet to see a parent who is telling somebody, hey, I know, let's go bear some false witness against our neighbor, right? If your parents tell you to do something that goes against the direct command of the Lord, then you're off the hook. God trumps your parents, okay? Now, I think the odds of this happening are pretty slim. However, we as parents need to pay close attention to this. Because are there times when we may, through our actions or even through our words, teach our children to do things which would be in direct violation of the will of God. I mean, when you really think about, do we ever teach our children to envy, to become consumers of everything that the world has to offer at the expense of our relationship with God? Do we ever teach our children to maybe worship other things in this world? I mean, one of the things that I realized early on, and you all know this if you're parents, is our kids pick up on everything. You know, and when we think about the commandments, you know, these commandments, we talked about them a few months ago. And the reality is we talk about how these commandments were hard enough, and then Jesus shows up and he just kind of jacks them through the ceiling. You know, he says, hey, you know, you've heard it said you shouldn't murder, but I tell you, if you call somebody Raka, you fool, you know, that you've committed murder already. It reminded me of a time we went to, some of our kids was telling somebody, we were driving along the road, and one of our daughters, I won't tell you which one, they said, hey, look who's in that car over there. And one of our daughters yelled out, they're an idiot, right? And I was thinking, what in the world is that? And Brenda looks over at me, and she goes, yeah, you know what she's saying, right? She's picked that up from you, because when the person cuts us off, you always yell out, you know, you idiot, right? So when I think about it as a parent, am I doing and saying things that my kids are picking up that might directly go against the things that God wants us to do and the way he wants us to live? Parents, we got to be careful, because they are the best little supercomputers out there, and they're picking up on everything. But then also children, we as children need to understand that, yes, if your parents ask you to do something that's a direct violation of God's will, that you can say no to that, but boy, do you have to be careful with how you apply that. I would always encourage you to seek wise counsel before you just decide that you're going to go ahead and be disobedient. Because it's important that we take seriously how we are obedient. And why is that? Well, because of the last part of this passage. It says, children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. So obedience pleases the Lord. And folks, that is huge. Okay, it doesn't say, children, obey your parents in everything because it will please your parents. Okay, most of us operate from that angle. We want to do what we're told because we want our parents to be happy. Why do we want our parents to be happy? So they'll either, number one, leave us alone, or number two, they'll give us what we want. Right? That's kind of it. But the Bible doesn't say, children, obey your parents in everything because it pleases them. It says, because it pleases the Lord. You see, when you obey your parents, when you who are inhabiting your parents' household are living in obedience to your parents, it pleases the Lord. It puts God on your side. And this is so vital. I mean, when you think about this, do you want God's favor in your life? Then don't displease. This is an area where we can easily displease. I think if we aren't being obedient to the Lord, we live in a place where we're displeasing the Lord. But if we obey, we please him. And this is huge. And Paul goes on in the Apostle Paul, and we've been doing this the last couple weeks, he expands this whole teaching in Colossians when he speaks in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it kind of like expands on this whole thing. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So not only does it please the Lord, but obeying your parents is right. It's the right thing to do. Now notice here, it does not say, children, obey your parents when they are right. Okay? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is the right thing to do. That word for right in the passage truly means, it's a word where we get the word justice. It is the right thing. It is true. It is what you are supposed to do. And so it is the right. And how serious is God about this whole act of obedience and saying, hey, this is the right thing. This is the way you should live. It's super important. In fact, early on, in the biblical teaching, in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, in chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, I want to read this for you. This is one we read a lot in our home. It says this, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them, and when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of them and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. And they shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. I mean, I'm guessing they only practiced this once or twice. Because the word got out. They'll really do this, right? I mean, that looks really serious, but what it reminds us of is how serious does God take obedience? Go back and read through that passage. Write that down. Write that reference down, parents. Go back and read through that thing. Children, write that down. See how many times the word obedience or obey is in this passage. Obedience is super important to God. In Leviticus 20:19, it says, anyone who curses his father or mother is to be put to death. Because they have cursed their father or mother, their blood will be on their own heads. Deuteronomy 27:6 says, cursed is anyone who dishonors their father and mother. All the people shall say amen, right? I mean, then there's the commandment in Exodus 20:12 that we know, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land. I mean, that goes without saying, okay? If this is the disciplinary thing, you know, man, you got to live, honor your mother and father. Exodus 21:15 says, anyone who attacks their father or mother shall be put to death. Anyone in Exodus 21:17, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. I mean, think about this. Do you in any way, shape, or form curse your parents? Even under your breath. Do you say things that you shouldn't say? I mean, is there any way that you attack your parents? I mean, I had a situation when I was coaching soccer a while back, and there's a group of 14-year-old girls. And I watched a 14-year-old daughter with her words viciously attack her mom. And you know what? The one standing ovation I got coaching soccer was when I took that kid and yanked him off the field and set him down on the bench and say, hey, if you're going to talk like that to your parent, you're not playing. But do kids do that today? Yeah. And while that may be super overt, are there things that you say to or about or under your breath to your parents that might not be as honoring as it should be? In the Roman times, they had this law. This is the kind of world that Jesus was and the apostles were teaching in. In Roman law, they had this thing called patria potestas, okay? And it was basically the power of the father is what this was called. When a child was born, they would bring the child and they would hand the child to the father. And for the child to be recognized as a part of society, the father had to accept the child. If the father decided in any way, shape, or form not to accept them, they would just literally take them outside and leave them in a field somewhere. Okay? I mean, it sounds pretty drastic, doesn't it? I mean, kids in this day and era where this biblical teaching came says children could actually, if you disobeyed your parents, you could get sold into slavery. I mean, kids could be given the death sentence if they struck or dishonored their parents. I mean, Christianity came along and went a long way into building up the rights of children and things like that. But even though Christianity comes along and says, hey, we're going to take these children who are abandoned, we're going to bring them in. Hey, we're going to take these rules that are happening, we're going to say, hey, there should be boundaries and these children should be taken care of and they should be loved and cared for and everything like that. And where Jesus sits down and he says, hey, let the little children come to me. And even though Christianity drastically changed it, Christianity still said, children, obey your parents. Honor them. And it's so vital that we begin to understand this. Why? Because it has consequences. Obedience has consequences. In the rest of the verse in Ephesians, it says this. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. So there are consequences. Okay, they're positive and there's always negative consequences depending on how you choose to act. And it's so important. It starts this thing off. It says, honor your father and mother. Honor, it's a word that says to place value on, to demonstrate worth to something. And the question that we have is, are we living honorably as children? I think if you want to be honored as a parent, then the question is, are you living honorably as a child? Now, there's a lot of ways that we can do this. I think there's a lot of ways we can show honor. And so whether you're, like I said, whether you're, you know, 15 or 50, and you're still a child, you can apply these things. How do you show honor? Here's some ways that we can show honor. Number one is do things without being asked. Okay, super important. Obedience is doing what you're asked to do. Honor is doing things before you're asked to do them. It means that you're thinking about things ahead of time. You're considering them. You're acting considerate. And I think that's huge. And all of you parents, how many of your parents would like your kids to do that, to do things before they're told to do them? Yeah? Some of you aren't raising your hand because you know where this is leading. Then in your role as a child, do you do the same thing? Another way that we honor our parents, spend time with them. I mean, think about that. I know some of the teenagers in this room just said, What are you talking about, right? No, really, young people. I think this is true. I think that there are all kinds of spiritual disciplines that we can practice, reading your Bible, prayer, all these different things. I actually believe that some of our young people today need to practice the spiritual discipline of spending time at home. Okay? And parents, the question is what are you going to do if they do that? Are you going to ignore them? Because if you ignore them for a second, man, they're onto their devices and everything else. They know pretty quick whether or not you're going to pay attention to them. Spend time together. Make sure that you niche out time where you are going to be together as a family. I will tell you this, and Brenda and I will talk about it next week. I think picking at least one night of the week that you all are together as a family is absolutely vital to creating a kind of atmosphere where this kind of thing can happen. So do things without being asked. Spend time with them. Say thank you. Say thank you to your parents. I mean, remember we talked about this a few weeks ago. We told wives, you know, husbands like to be shown respect. And one way you can do that is just by saying thank you. Well, I would say the same thing goes for parents. Say thank you. I mean, if you live here in the Kaneo Valley, if you're a young person and you live in here in the Kaneo Valley, man, you need to just like hug your parents. Say thank you. Thank you for where I live. Thank you for the education that I get to have. I mean, your parents will faint, right? But just thank them anyways. And the next thing is write them a note. Write them a note just expressing your gratitude, expressing your honoring of your parents. Write a note and just tell them what you think about who they are. I mean, this is huge. Even if it's just a little thank you note, you know, thanks for doing this for me or whatever. Write them a note like that. It will mean so much. It will go so far into letting your parents know that they're honored. It's huge. You know how I know this is true? Because I have a nightstand right next to my bed. And the top drawer of the nightstand is literally packed with little notes and things that my children have wrote me over the years. I don't know any parent that just takes a thank you note or a note that their child wrote to them and goes, oh, thank you for that. Yeah, okay, that's nice. And just throws it away. For most parents, it's like, this is gold. We may never get this again. And so we save that and we cherish it. And when the kids are acting disobediently, we go out and we sit in our rooms and we take out the letters. We go, all things will be well again soon. We read those letters, right? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But it is so important that we do this. And it's so important that we work to try to work together and make things right. And I know some of you are sitting here this morning and you're saying, yeah, I get it, Pastor. I know that this is biblical, but you don't know my situation. You don't know my parents. And that's true. I don't know every situation. And I realize that in every situation, like we said, there is no perfect family. That every single one of us have brokenness to some extent. That, like I said, we all have a closet that we don't want anybody to poke in. And I realize that some of those things are more serious and more damaging, more hurtful than others. And some of you have been seriously damaged by the things that have happened in your family. And we certainly don't want to take that lightly. And the question is, are you allowing those things to continue to damage you and damage your family? Are you carrying on the legacy of the hurt and the brokenness, or are you tired? And would you like to take care of that and to have that worked on and to put that behind your family legacy and begin to build a family legacy of obedience and honor and trust? Because you can choose that. Remember, you can't choose whose child you are, but you can choose what kind of child you are going to be. And you can choose to break those cycles. And I'm not telling you this morning that I think that this is going to be easy. I realize that this is going to be very, very difficult. But it's something that we are all called to do. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, God tells us when he's talking to us about the fact that we've been made a new creation in Christ, and he says this in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, "And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him." The NIV version just simply says he's been given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And folks, that starts at home. Reconciling and rebuilding relationships starts at home. And it starts with us. And some of you have kind of put those things behind, and some of you have kind of said, like, and let me tell you, if you have not taken care of it, if you haven't dealt with it, and you've just kind of pushed that into a corner somewhere, eventually that thing's going to come back to life. And eventually that thing is going to do damage. And I want to encourage you this morning to realize that God has called us to be people who reconcile. And some of you in this room, if you've been having a difficult time with a parent, then I just want to encourage you that, number one, you have a heavenly Father that loves you and cares for you and wants to help you to break some of those cycles in your life and wants you to have a legacy of love and of trust and of mercy and grace in your home. But one of the things that we need to do is we need to step out and make things right whenever possible. And I realize that sometimes that's not always, it's not always possible. Maybe even the person that harmed you or damaged you isn't even living anymore. But we need to step out and with everything that we've got, try to make an effort to mend those relationships. I mean, little things happen. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm not perfect in my life. And I've done things and said things to my own parents that I have regretted. I mean, sometimes there's little things, and something happened a couple years back to me where, you know, we go down to Mexico all the time, and we're building stuff, and if any of you know my dad, he is the builder, okay? This guy is just, like, brilliant when it comes to building and constructing things, and he's forgotten more about construction than I'll ever even know. And we were down in Mexico building something, and I said, "Hey, Dad, I need you to look at this." And that's what he was really there for. He was kind of my mistake finder, right? And he came over and looked at something, and I said, "Hey, you know, what do you think about this?" And he told me what he thought and everything else, and then, you know, I kept measuring things and looking, and I said, "Hey, wait a minute. I think it's this way." And he said no, and I said yes, and we kind of got into this little thing back and forth. And I remember just saying something that just wasn't appropriate at the time. I mean, it wasn't like, didn't like attack my dad or anything else. It just was something where basically I didn't show honor to him. And what was interesting is a good friend of mine was there and kind of saw that kind of interaction between the two of us. And later, after my dad had kind of went away, and I think he was over helping my mom with something, The guy actually said, and I'm thankful for this, he actually said, "Hey, I think you maybe hurt your dad's feelings." And I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, my dad's tough. He knows I love him, right? Kind of got that whole thing. And the more I thought about it, it just sat in my gut. It just sat there. And I thought, no, you know, we're okay. And you know why I was doing that? You know why I didn't want to do anything? Because I was going to have to swallow a little bit of my pride in order to honor my dad. And man, I got to tell you, man, for the next couple hours, I just avoided that like the plague. I avoided my dad. But pretty soon, thank goodness for, I think, the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts us. And it just kept wearing on me and wearing on me and wearing on me. I thought, man, I got to do something about this. And so I had to walk over and tell my dad, pull my dad aside and just say, hey, Dad, you know what? Man, I love you, and, you know, I shouldn't have said what I said. And I'm sorry, I apologize. And, you know, he didn't look at me and go, yeah, you were wrong, and, you know, whatever. No, he just hugged me. He just hugged me. There wasn't a whole lot of other conversation about that. And you know what the craziest thing in this whole deal was? Is, come to find out, I was right. Now, the only reason I was probably right was because there was a time in my life where my dad taught me how to do this thing, and I was applying what he had taught me to do, but I was right. But you know what? That doesn't give me the right to act dishonorably. And what rolled back through my head was something my dad had said to me over and over and over again as a young kid. Probably one time when I was in an argument with my mom. He pulled me aside and he said, son, you can be awfully wrong proving that you're right. And you know what? Isn't that a situation that we see all the time in our country and even in our homes? And doesn't that sometimes get you in trouble with your spouse and with your kids? And the reality is that we need to be people who honor our parents. Okay, not because they're right, but because it's the right thing for us to do. It's the right way for us to live. It's the right example for us to set. And it pleases God. And if you want the favor of God to fall on your house, then, man, obey His commands. Put His rules at the center of your home. Some of you will continue to say, yeah, but you don't understand the relationship and everything else. And I had one person who came up to me not too long ago and shared this dilemma that they had about a parent who, you know, they just already had a rocky relationship, and now the parent, because of things that had happened and because of their aging and failing health, a parent who didn't plan well for their future, and the person just looked at me and says, you know, my parent did this to me, my parent did that, and they didn't do this, and now I'm supposed to take care of them. And I just says, let's just go look in the Bible. Let's just go look in the Bible and see what it has to say. And we stumbled upon this verse in 1 Timothy 5:8 that says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I was like, ooh. You see, even in that situation, you now have a chance to be more and more like Jesus and to say, Father, forgive them, because they didn't even know what they were doing. And see, we know this, is that we cannot choose whose child you are, but you can choose what kind of child that you're going to be. And I believe that the Bible is pretty clear and tells us that no matter if you're 9, 19, 29, 49, that we're called to be children who obey and who honor our parents. And if we will do that, we will create a legacy in our homes. Now, again, I'm not telling you this is going to be easy, but it's the right thing to do. Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father and bore a cross for you and for me. And I can't imagine that it's just something that he, you know, got all excited about. In the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus kneeled down and says, Father, not my will, but yours. He submitted to the will of his Father. He was obedient to the mission that God had given to him. And he honored the Father by following through on what eventually became our salvation. And every week we celebrate that. You see, the amazing thing is there's not one thing in Scripture that Jesus will ask us to do that he hasn't already done on our behalf. And so each week we gather together and we take the Lord's Supper and we're reminded that we have a God that goes to incredible lengths to show his love and his desire to have a relationship with us. The relationships are the very core of what it means to be a child of God. And so this morning, my prayer is that maybe you'll kind of wrestle with the idea. Are there ways that you, as a child, need to better honor your parents? You, as a parent, are you doing things that help your kids live honorably? And are we teaching that lesson? Is that the legacy that we're going to leave with our families? I think it's something that God wants for us. And it's part of the way that we can demonstrate our obedience to him. And so this morning as we take communion, I just encourage you to kind of think about where are some places. Maybe you need to decide this week you're going to write a note. Maybe it means you got to go have a hard conversation. Maybe it means you need to get some help in a situation that's difficult. Maybe you just need some prayer this morning. I'm going to ask some of our elders to just come sit up front. And during this time, if you want somebody to pray with you, then I'd encourage you to come and that we'd love to pray with you. But whatever you do, focus on the gift of Christ that gives us the power to forgive and the power to live. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, your grace is so sufficient. And Father, we pray that, Lord God, you will guide and direct us. And Father, some of this is hard. Sometimes, Father, it's just really difficult to deal with situations where we've been wronged, we feel hurt. Father, we know that really that's only possible when we realize that you love us. And that, Father, that your Son gave his life on our behalf so that we could have a relationship that's reconciled to you. Father, my prayer this morning is that you would help us to live as children who are obedient and who honor our parents and honor you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.